My friends, our scriptural meditations today bring us to the 23rd chapter of Exodus, where we find a promise that the Lord made to the children of Israel after he had delivered them from Egyptian bondage, had brought them across the Red Sea, and they have now traveled for some time in the wilderness. He's given them the law of commandments, and the instructions are to be given for the building of the tabernacle and the worship that goes along with it. But in Exodus chapter 23, the Lord reveals to them how he is going to drive their enemies out of the land of Canaan. He says in verse 28, "And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land." We want to notice, especially where the Lord says, "By little and little I will drive them out from before thee." We read in the scriptures of many of the instant works of God. We read in Genesis chapter 1 where God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We read of the different things that God brought forth in the creation, and we're reading here where God spake and it was done. Peter explains this in 2 Peter chapter 3 by telling us that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. We also recognize that it was by the word of God that the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. God, by the word of his mouth, just by the word of his mouth, could bring worlds into existence. He could flood those worlds, cause waters to recede, and cause the dry land to appear. And the Bible tells us that the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. We also read in the scriptures of many of the miraculous and monumental works of God that were performed very quickly. And we all look forward to a work that the Lord has promised to do in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And you know I'm referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter of the Bible, where the Apostle Paul says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And he says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, for the trumpet shall sound." He says that the dead would be raised incorruptible. He tells us that all of these wonderful things would happen instantly. They would happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, we recognize that God could have driven out the enemies of the children of Israel. He could have solved this problem in less than a year. God says, "I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year." For that matter, the sovereign God of the universe did not need a week. He certainly did not need a month. And he did not need a year. But we are going to learn that the great God of this universe, that he does not always operate the same way, that his methods are not always the same. The Lord, in his sovereignty, can choose to work instantly. He can choose to do things in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, or even less than that. But the Lord can also, at any time he pleases, choose to do things by little and by little. Now, he tells them here that, of course, he is going to drive their enemies out just at a step at a time. This would also keep the land from being desolate, as the scripture stated, and at the same time, it would give the children of Israel time enough to increase in order that they might fill up the land. But we find a number of other things in the Bible that the Lord says he does by steps. We notice that as far as the learning of God's people is concerned, that we find in the scriptures that the Lord quite often does this by little and by little. Now, we recognize that this perhaps is a foreign language to people who are living in a day where everybody wants it all, and we want it all right now. we're bombarded every day with advertisements that promise that the little skinny 97-pound weakling can put on muscles and become gain weight and become like Mr. Universe in just a very short time if that individual will use a certain gadget or exercise machine or take a particular supplement. Then on the other hand, there are other people that are told that they can lose 50 pounds in just practically no time if they'll buy this, that, or the other. There are folks who want to gain weight quickly. There are other folks who want to lose weight, and the quicker the better. We find that in this age, we deal with so many instant things. Instant coffee, instant mashed potatoes, and folks want problems instantly solved. We find that most any subject that you want to talk about, there is somebody that can explain it to you in probably 5 or 10 easy steps. If there's any skill, any trade, any particular thing on this earth that you want to learn, no doubt in some of these giant bookstores, somebody has written a little paperback book where you can learn to do it before the sun goes down. How to do this or do that in 5 or 6 simple, easy steps. We're living in a day where folks want it all, and they want it now, and we see that it's sometimes a characteristic with Bible students, and especially with young preachers, that we want to learn it quickly and get it the easy way. But we find in Isaiah chapter 28 that the Lord compares the way he teaches us to the way that a child is taught to read and write. Now, you may remember the time when you were taught to print letters and then to put those letters together in small words and to leave a space between the letters. Then you were taught to put sentences in lines and listen to what the Lord said. He said, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, a precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." The Lord says, I teach these things like you would teach a child. I teach them line upon line. I teach them here a little and there a little. And I have been in conversations with many people who would take up a particular Bible subject that I happen to know that some of the things I've learned about that subject were in Genesis. Other things were in the book of Psalms. Perhaps other things were in the book of Isaiah. Some of the things in the parables and teachings of the Lord. And some of it I learned by reading the writings of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. And sometimes folks want you to turn, point them to a particular chapter, a portion of a chapter, or else to some very small book that they could read that they might learn all about these things that you have labored over a long period of years and recognize that these things are revealed in the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. They're revealed here a little and there a little. That's why it's necessary that we compare Scripture with Scripture. We find that the Lord, in Mark chapter 4, verse 28, makes a comparison with the way that nature produces fruit to the way that his children grow spiritually. The Lord says, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." No reasonable person would expect to plant corn today, or beans, or sow wheat, or anything else for that matter, and then to see a little blade coming out of the ground tomorrow, and then the next day to go there and begin to gather beans or gather corn or to gather the fully developed fruit or vegetable. You don't expect to gather grain the very day after that blade appears. You expect it to go through stages. "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear." My friend, we spend some times as babes in Christ. The Lord teaches us here a little and there a little. In the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, when the Lord was washing the disciples' feet, Peter wanted to know all about it. Peter saith unto the Lord, Dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered him and said, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. We find the Lord told them again in John 14:29, And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. He says, You're not going to believe it now. You're not going to understand it now. But I'm telling you beforehand that when it comes to pass, you might believe. In John 16:12, we have the statement, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. And in Acts 1:6, when they asked a particular question to the Lord, the Lord plainly told them they did not have the capacity to understand the answer at that time. It's those disciples asked the Lord, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. The Lord is telling them that I don't intend for you to learn it all at once. I intend to teach you by little and by little. And my friend, that has been my life's experience, that the Lord teaches us by little and by little. We also notice that this is the Lord's teaching about prosperity, about the accumulation of things in this life. And I recognize that, once again, I'm speaking a foreign, contrary language to people and live in a world where folks live in hope of winning the lottery. They live in hope of some windfall. They live in hope of finding the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And there may be a few of you listening to me today that may be the favorite niece or the favorite nephew of some rich aunt who has a fortune and nobody to give it to. But there's just not very many folks like that. And that certainly is not true in my family. My aunts are all gone home to be of the Lord. And most of them were poor folks to start with. But we find in Proverbs 13:11, that Solomon says, Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Now, Solomon tells us that the hand of the diligent maketh rich, that this person that gains a little at a time, that gains little by little, will probably wind up more prosperous than this individual that's trying to get rich overnight through some vain show. We also see in Proverbs 20:21, he says, An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning. And once again, I live in a generation where people want it, and they want it right now. But he says, But the end thereof shall not be blessed. Now, why is this true? Why is it true that things that people get hastily, that usually they're not blessed? Because many times when people receive something hastily, they did not have to work for it. They do not know the value of it. So they very quickly squander it. They very quickly spend it. And very quickly it's gone. And in that which comes easy, goes easy. Old saying, you know, easy come, easy go. He says that the prosperity some many times comes by little and by little. We also see that this is the way the Lord heals problems, both physical and spiritual. And I recognize that there are many folks who want their problems, their healing of spiritual problems, their healing of physical problems, that they want it with a very quick touch. And I recognize that the Lord is able to do it that way. I read of times in the Scriptures where the Lord instantly healed folks, instantly solved their problems just by the very quick touch of his hand. I recognize God is still able to do that. And I also recognize that I've heard of instances where God still does. He doesn't do it through people like me. He does it of his own will and his own pleasure. But my friends, we find that quite often that even physical healing comes step by step. Sometimes folks, through bad habits, through neglect, and through torturing of the body, it will take many, many years for us to live our way into a particular condition. And even though the Lord blesses us to regain our strength, quite often it's not overnight. We did not get that way in just a few hours, and many times we're not going to be restored in just a few hours. Sometimes the rebuilding of health is a thing that comes about a little each day and a little each week, and I'm no doubt speaking to some discouraged people who probably have had some real setbacks with your health, and you'd like to be restored in just a few hours or even in the twinkling of an eye. But my friends, if the Lord allows you to gain just a little day by day, if you can see just a little progress, then thank the Lord, because that's quite often the way He does things. Also, many, many times when we have problems, we want to find some counselor. We want to read somebody who's written a bestseller book that will tell us very quickly how our problems can be solved. But many times when we have problems in marriages, we have problems in friends. Many times when we need reconciliation, we see that these things sometimes come about a step at a time. A kind word here, a kind word there, a bit of consideration today, a little bit of consideration tomorrow, and you can find yourselves coming closer and closer together to those friends where the friendship has been separated, where there's a great gap or chasm, yet little by little you can find it closing. And we also have noticed that this is sometimes the way that the Lord solves marriage problems. Once again, there are folks who want the quick fix. They want the magic solution. One visit with a minister, one visit with a counselor, about 15 minutes with a little paperback book. But sometimes it involves making that first little step back toward your wife, or that first little step of kindness or act of kindness toward your husband or toward that offended party. Sometimes it requires that these things be done in stages. And when we begin to read about the actions of God, we notice that quite often this is the way reconciliation to loss takes place. There are many that I know that have lost their husbands or wives. Others have lost their children, people who have buried their babies. And you're not going to bed tonight and wake up in the morning completely reconciled to that matter. But my friends, beg the Lord that He will grant you reconciliation to your loss step by step and day by day. There are many things in this life that you will never get over them, but beg God to give you the grace to get used to them. And the Lord restores us in these matters little by little, by little and by little. He says, I'm going to drive out your enemies. I'll solve your problems. And the overall lesson that we need to draw from all of this is patience. We should not despise small things and things that God does by little and by little. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 raises the question, and who hath despised the day of small things? In this hurry generation in which we live, where people have the internet and email, and we have rapid means of communication and rapid means of travel, where we can do great things and do them quickly, or where we can travel and communicate in ways that were not even heard of, say 20 or 30 years ago, or even less time than that, we might see that patience might be going out of style. Patience, folks might say, is passé. That's sort of gone out of style. But it is not out of style and will never be out of style for the Bible reader and the disciple of Christ. Because we are told in 2 Peter chapter 1, that he tells us, we'll begin at verse 5, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And notice that this is little by little. This is step by step. He didn't say that you're going to get these things all at once. He says you add them. And notice we add them step by step. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, And beside this, giving all diligence, add your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find that he tells us that one of these things that we're to add is patience. Now, if all of these things that he's named here come quickly, and if they come easily, then why would God's people need any patience? The very fact that the Bible tells us that we're to add patience teaches us that God does not always give us instant reconciliation to loss. He does not always give us instant solutions to problems. He does not always give us instant healing, either physical or spiritual. He does not always give us instant learning, and he does not always bless us to have instant prosperity. The key to this is patience, and James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then we remember the statement that the Apostle Paul made in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. The Apostle Paul would tell us there of the value of tribulations and trials, and he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. May the Lord answer all your questions. May the Lord solve all your problems. But just remember, the Lord doesn't get in as big a hurry as we do. Sometimes he chooses to do those things by little and little.